Welcome to the College Parent Central podcast. Whether your child is just beginning the college admission process or is already in college, this podcast is for you. You'll find food for thought and information about college and about navigating that delicate balance of guidance, involvement, and knowing when to get out of the way. Join your hosts, Vicki Nelson and Lynn Abrahams, as they share support and a celebration of the amazing experience of having a child in college.
Welcome to the College Parent Central podcast. We are here to talk about parenting our students through high school, through college, through post-college, and talk a little bit about the changes in our roles as parents. My name is Lynn Abrahams, and I am a learning disability specialist. I work with students in a small four-year liberal arts college, but I also am the mom of two sons who have been in and out and through college, and I have stories to tell from my personal as well as professional life. And I'm here with my good friend and colleague, Vicki Nelson.
Hi, everyone. Yes, my name is Vicki Nelson, and I am a professor of communication, also at a small liberal arts college, happens to be the same one where Lynn is. Like Lynn, I am also a mom. Lynn has boys, but I have three girls, and they have all gone to college, and they've all completed college and are out on their journey into life. So like Lynn, I look at this idea of college parenting both as a parent who wishes that I knew when my kids were going to college what I know now. I learned by experimenting on them a little bit. But also I work with college students every day, and I get to observe what's going well, what they're struggling with, and sometimes work with their parents as well. So we look at this from all kinds of different angles.
So today we are doing one of my very favorite episodes, and that's that we are recommending summer reads. So Vicki and I have each picked three books that we absolutely love. And we did not overstep each other this time.
No,
we picked three different books.
We usually have a tug of war going on over one or two of the books.
But I know I'm so excited to talk about these three books. These are really exciting. So
I'm going to
jump
in first. Yes, I'm going to go first. It was interesting. I mean, we know that for many people, summer beach reads are a little lighter fare and a little fluffier than perhaps some of the things that we're talking about. But also that particularly if you are a new college parent or about to be a college parent, it's a little bit like having a baby in the sense that, you know, I remember when I was pregnant for the first time and I was reading all the books I could get, you know, what to expect when you're expecting and all of those. And you just want to gather information and then, you know, use it. And so whether your student is starting or whether they have been in college for a while, these might be some books that you want to pick up. And we're in our fourth season now, which shocks me every time I think about that. And we've done one of these summer reads podcasts every year. So it's actually getting a little harder sometimes to say, okay, what have we not talked about before? But we'll link in the show notes to the episodes from the other seasons, which also have a lot of books. So you'll have plenty to pick from. Okay, so I get to go first. This sounds like I'm starting on a down note, but it really is, encouraging and important reading. The book I wanted to start talking about is The Disintegrating Student, Struggling But Smart, Falling Apart, and How to Turn It Around by Jeanine Jeannot. The emphasis here could be on how to turn it around because this can be useful really for any parent who has a student who is struggling or who worries that your student might struggle someday. And it applies whether you have an elementary school student, middle school, high school, or college. And what Jeannot talks about is that these students can be students who have a history of outstanding achievement. They might be the gifted student. It's not just the students who've struggled all along. They're conscientious, motivated, they've been doing well, and then all of a sudden they seem to start to fall apart. And that can be academically, emotionally, in a lot of different ways. And parents may not have even realized there was a problem until the grades start to be different than they have been. And she talks about there are all kinds of reasons this can happen. It could be their ability, their personality, their coping mechanisms, the kinds of supports that they have or that they use, or relationships. There are all kinds of things. But one of the key ideas that really registered for me that she talks about is that she theorizes that almost all students will reach a point that she calls the rigor tipping point. Huh. Rigor being, you know, how hard something is. And that as students go through school and they encounter more schoolwork and more difficult schoolwork, they will eventually reach a point where they can no longer manage it easily. And I think the key word is easily. They've sort of, you know, they've stayed on top of things. Things have gone fine. And then all of a sudden, it's difficult and they don't know what to do. They start to fall apart. And it can happen for students at any time, mm-hmm. but she pinpoints some more common or likely times. And she says, she's observed through her work with students and coaching that three of the points that it tends to happen are 8th grade, 10th grade, and the second semester of freshman year.
How interesting.
Of college. And we are just, as we're recording this, we are just coming to the end of the second semester of the year. And absolutely, I see this in a lot of my freshmen. Who just fell apart in the last few weeks. And she says, here's a quote. She says, as grades begin to drop, negatively affecting their attitude and self-esteem, it creates a perfect storm of external and internal pressures, which causes some of the best and the brightest students to fall apart. So they hit a point, they don't know what to do, and they start to fall apart. And if parents know only this, I think it's a help. I mean, the rest of the book goes on to talk about, you know, what do you do and how can you work on it? But just understanding this idea of a rigor tipping point, that suddenly things aren't as easy as they've seemed. And if you've coasted, you don't know what to do.
You know, what strikes me listening to you talk about that is that this is a normal part of learning. When you are learning, it's part of the process that you hit a point that is challenging. And what matters is what you do at that point.
Yes.
You know, do you give up? Do you, you know, or do you figure out strategies? And so this is normalizing something that is part of the process of learning.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. And if students and parents don't know to expect this,
yep.
then it takes them by surprise. So she goes on. I mean, I think that's one of the key understandings from this book. But she goes on and she includes 77 practical tips for parents. Mm. But she doesn't just throw the tips out. She explains the developmental, the individual, cultural, parental, all of those influence that can affect how students got there. And so understanding that is important as you approach it. You know, it's not that big a book, but it's almost a couple of courses in psychology and sociology all wrapped up in really understandable language for lay people. And another point she makes is that when disintegrating students start to struggle academically, they really go to, this is a quote from her, to great lengths to maintain the well-kept secret that they need help. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they've defined themselves by their success and they don't want to let on that they're falling apart. So one of the things she does in the book is some suggestions that are going to help parents kind of be detectives to discover when this sort of thing is going on. So just in terms of the tips then that she gives, and it's nice to leave you with practical things. They're all kinds. So she has things that have to do with organization, time management, study skills, stress, sleep, screens, you know, all of these things. And you pick and choose, mm-hmm. you know, this might work for my kid or not. And her final message is essentially to be patient. She says, she tells a story in the beginning of a book of, you know, kind of a crazy parent, you know, in their morning routine with their kid. And at the end of the book, I don't think this is a spoiler. She confesses that it was her. You know? Okay. But she says, I still struggle with the ups and downs of parenting, just like everyone, but I'm trying. I'm improving. I'm better today than I was yesterday, and I'll try to be even better tomorrow. This is all we can ask of ourselves, and it is all our children want from us. Mm-hmm. So it really ends on a positive note, but this idea of why is my kid falling apart? Mm-hmm. I found this a really helpful book in terms of understanding what happens and then feeling empowered to work with that and do that and share some of this information with my student.
Well, I haven't read this book, so I'm looking forward to it. My first book, first I want to say about the books that I'm recommending, all three of the books that I recommend, I am hoping if you do get them, you will let them sit around your house and maybe your kids will read them too. Because all three of these have just such good information that you can talk to your kids about. So the first one is a book that I've actually talked about before, but this is the third edition of this book. It's a brand new edition. The book is called 7 Steps to College Success, A Pathway for Students with Disabilities. Well, this is my world, so I really love this book. And every time I mention it, I say it's the book that I wish I had written.
I'm going to interrupt you. Yeah. And it's by Elizabeth Hamblett. And we have 2 interviews with her. And our most recent interview, if you go back just a little bit, was number 85. And she talks all about the book there. Yep. So you talk, but you can also then follow up and actually listen to her.
So Elizabeth Hamblett has worked with learning disability students in colleges for, you know, over 20 years. She works in a disability services office, and she's a speaker, and, you know, people ask her to come and talk about this topic because she's really an expert. I like the third edition because it's they're updated research, updated interviews, and it's well done. You know, it's a practical guide for students about the differences between high school and college when you have learning differences or disabilities. So it helps you know the process on finding the right college, finding accessing accommodations, how parents can support you in that process. I think this should be required reading for all families and their students in high school, students who want to go to college but need to know the process and the differences when you have learning differences, because you need to take a lot more responsibility. Mm-hmm. And this book just lays it out. It's beautiful. That's all I need to say.
Well, and Elizabeth just shared so much information in her interview, and we'll link to that in the show notes. And actually, you know, Lynn, you are also an expert on a lot of these things, and we did an episode way back in the beginning, in the baby days of the podcast. Episode 9 was all about the differences between high school and college for learning students with learning differences. So I would recommend that to parents as well, that Elizabeth isn't the only one who really knows and understands this and the importance of it. So we'll link to both of those.
Beautiful.
It's a great,
it's my world,
great resource. and this third edition just came out
a couple of months ago.
So it's great. Okay, so I have another one. And for this one, I went back a little bit. I sort of stood there and looked at my bookshelf and said, what's there that we haven't talked about yet? And actually, I think it's a good companion piece to the one I just talked about the disintegrating student. And this one some parents may have heard of. It's called Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance by Angela Duckworth. And it came out in 2016, but, you know, it hasn't changed. The principles haven't changed. Duckworth is a professor of psychology at Penn and, you know, has background in neurobiology and neuroscience and psychology. So she's sort of looking at how we learn and why some, not just students, I mean, this applies to everyone, but why some people seem to hang in there and others do fall apart or disintegrate. And in a nutshell, she's basically saying that the secret to achievement, to outstanding achievement, is not talent, but a special blend of passion and persistence, and that stick-to-itiveness that keeps you going. She really builds on the work of Carol Dweck, who wrote Mindset. And so that's another book I would recommend, and we'll put that in the show notes too.
Absolutely.
And Duckworth started out with some of her work with cadets at West Point and then some teachers in tough schools and I love this, finalists for the National Spelling Bee and, you know, how they approach things. And she talks about how grit, this sticking to it, is something that can be learned. She talks about, you know, do students need that warm embrace or do they need high standards? How do you figure that out? And she talks about something called the hard thing rule. You know, doing hard things matters and it sort of builds muscle for this. Work ethic versus intelligence. You know, it's not just being smart, it's how you approach things. Talent versus effort. And she says, why do we assume that it is our talent rather than our effort that will decide where we end up in the very long run? And you know, we say, oh, this person has a lot of talent. But we've also seen people with talent burn out. So those sort of short-term performance versus long-term learning, those kinds of things. She has one chapter that's called How Gritty Are You? To kind of help you think about that, and that things have more to do with stamina than intensity, and shortcuts don't work. And we all often say to students, you know, find your passion. What's your dream? And it's important that students have a dream. But I know I see this in my students all the time, and Lynn, I'll bet you will agree with me that some of them don't know their dream, but many do. But what they can't figure out are those mid-level and low-level goals or action plans that will get them to that dream. And that's why they fall apart. They know where they want to be, but they haven't figured out the steps to get there. Here's a quote that she says, I see a lot of invisibly vulnerable high achievers stumble in young adulthood and struggle to get up again. And this goes back to the disintegrating student. I call them the fragile perfects. Sometimes I meet fragile perfects in my office after a midterm or a final. Very quickly, it becomes clear that these bright and wonderful people know how to succeed, but not how to fail. So that makes me think back to Jessica Leahy's book, The Gift of Failure, which we have talked about, we'll link to, that learning how to do that. And that's really the same sort of thing that Janot is talking about in The Disintegrating College Student. And the book ends, again, on that sort of positive note. There's a chapter called Hope, where she says, what is hope? And for many of us, not just students, it's the expectation that tomorrow will be better. We yearn for sunnier weather or a smoother path, but without the burden of responsibility. But for her, this idea of grit depends on a different kind of hope. It rests on the expectation that our own efforts can improve our future. I have a feeling tomorrow will be better is different from I resolve to make tomorrow better. The hope that gritty people have has nothing to do with luck and everything to do with getting up again. And she quotes that saying, fall seven times, get up eight. So it's really a very positive, practical, not so much in terms of here's a list of tips, but how to think about this perseverance and this grit that I have to say, I think a lot of our students today are lacking and can make all the difference in keeping going.
You know, it's also another topic that parents and their students can talk about. Talk about, you know, what it means. Talk about, I mean, laugh about it. I mean, just, you know, get that in the conversation.
Yeah. And tell those personal stories when you've persevered, when you've done it, when you've needed grit to keep going. And, you know, I think I've talked about before, I often say to my students as I'm handing back a test or a quiz, you know, see feedback, not failure.
Yeah.
Find those steps to just put one foot in front of the other the next day. And I love that idea of, you know, I have a feeling tomorrow will be better is different than I resolve to make tomorrow better. Mm-hmm. It gives control and empowerment back to the students. Mm-hmm. Okay,
so you're next. My second book actually connects a little bit with the book you just talked about, I think. The book is called Late Bloomers: The Hidden Strengths of Learning and Succeeding at Your Own Pace. It's by Rich Hallgard. It was written in 2019. And I will say I consider myself a late bloomer. And this book made a lot of sense to me. It was, you know, one of those books where I just kept saying, yes, yes, I agree. You know, I really agreed with this guy. So Colgard went to Stanford University. He says he got in by a fluke. Okay. He was a mediocre student. He worked when he left college as a dishwasher and a night watchman. And I think working in those jobs gave him the time to figure out what he wanted to do. And what he wanted to do was start a magazine. Oh. So he started a new magazine in the Silicon Valley, and he eventually became the publisher of Forbes magazine.
So he
ended up in the career of his dreams. And he believes he needed the time to do that, to kind of get there. I love that he interviews neuropsychologists, psychologists, and lots of people in all different stages of career. He acknowledges something that I think is so important, which is that our brains are not fully matured until late 20s. Mm-hmm. So we are expecting our students, sometimes we're expecting more of them than their brains are ready. And so that idea of a late bloomer shouldn't be so negative. It's a positive thing. He goes on to talk about the particular strengths that late bloomers tend to have. And I love this part. Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity, compassion, resilience, which is grit, insight, wisdom, and emotional intelligence.
And those are all things that take time to develop.
Right.
Yeah.
So, again, it's a book that you can leave out, talk to your kids, that we put so much pressure in our culture on the early talented kids and the fast kids, you know, the ones who can get there quick, you know, the hare and the tortoise. We still are in love with the hare. And he really builds a wonderful case for listening to who you are and going at your own pace, whether it's fast, medium, or slow, but it's your own. And, you know, he gives lots of support to parents who might be, you know, nervous because their kids are late bloomers. Some of the most talented people in the world are late bloomers. Great book.
That's really an encouraging message because, you know, we hear so much about students who graduate from college and then are working these, you know, quote unquote, menial jobs. You know, I have a college degree, but I'm a barista at Starbucks is the classic sort of meme that's out there. But it explains why, you know, they need that time and to get to know themselves and to develop the skills and the interests and the curiosity. You know, it ties in a little bit with, we just did an episode, a couple of episodes back about Jeff Salingo's book, There Is Life After College. And he talked so much in that book about,
he does.
You know, students who graduate from college, but don't have the knowledge and understanding and skills to manage. And I think, you know, that they may be those late bloomers.
I'm wondering if it's more normal to be a late bloomer than it is to be on the path that we are all expecting our students to go
and
on.
So much of the push now in colleges, and I think we feel it, is to prepare students for a career. And yes, that is important, but there's all of that that surrounds that as well. You know, this feeling that, well, you know, I want a return on my investment, that I'll graduate and I'll go right into this career. And it takes time to grow. You're not done with that growing at that point.
And I will say we're still growing. Even at this point.
Hopefully that's a good thing. Well, and that's something, you know, the parents can talk to their students about and what was their path? Did they, you know, how did they zig and zag on their way to where they are, and how much are they feeling that they still are?
Yep.
All of these career changers that happen all along the line. So, yeah, great
book.
Yeah. It also speaks, I think, you know, to, we've talked a lot about gap years, and that just, it gives you a little more time on that path. Okay, so I have one more, and this one is a little different than the other two. This one is definitely one of the kinds of books, Lynn, that you're talking about that you want to leave out for your for your student, or even better, you know, I think this would be an ideal graduation gift for mostly a high school student going on to college. Because it's all about studying and success and all of that. It's called Outsmart Your Brain, Why Learning is Hard and How You Can Make It Easy by Daniel Willingham. Willingham is a professor of psychology at University of Virginia, and he's written a couple of other books, one called Raising Kids Who Read and one called Why Don't Kids Like School? So he's, you know, got this background. So two things as I start out. First of all, I have to be upfront. I haven't finished reading this book. Mm-hmm. But it's also a book where you can jump around to different chapters, depending on what you need and mm-hmm. what you want and what's appropriate at the moment. So I haven't quite finished it, but I've spent a lot of time, you know, with it and read a good bit of it. You know, the second is I have a little bit of a problem with the title. Outsmart Your Brain, great. Why Learning is Hard, great. And How You Can Make It Easy. I'm not sure easy is the word I would have picked, but I think I get why he has, because we're all often looking for an easy fix for something. Mm-hmm. So I sort of get why it's in the title, but I think it's a little misleading. It's more strategies for succeeding. Why do you do what you do? Understanding your brain and why we work with our brain the way we do and how we can work with it differently. And he explains what he means by outsmarting it. He says people, and this isn't just for students, but that we tend to use strategies that feel easy and feel like they're working. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as soon as I read this part, I started talking to my classes about this right away. And that if you understand how your brain works, you can work around some of these, that you know, understand that you use the things that feel easy and feel like they're working. That much of what students assume about learning is wrong, just plain wrong, and it leads to ineffective studying. The brain is set up to make you believe that you know more than you do. And I had to stop and think about that, you know, but that's what he goes on to explain throughout the book. So a couple of examples. He said there's a chapter on reading, how you should read your textbook, your assignments. And he said the brain expects the author to make comprehension easy. We assume that the author has put stuff there so that it will be easy for us to absorb. But remembering that when you're reading a textbook, you're not reading to be entertained. You're reading to learn something new, and that learning something new is often hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, just on a real basic level, understanding that might help the way you approach that. He talks about familiarity is not the same thing as comprehension or retention, and that knowing means being able to explain something, not just understanding it when someone else explains it. So I was just having a conversation yesterday with another faculty member, and we're in our college, we're all advisors. We advise students, you know, help them pick their classes and plan their path and talk about majors and minors and all of that. And we have a new software for doing that. Some of us are more comfortable with technology than others, but we have a new software for working with that. And it's going to be wonderful, but it is definitely a learning curve for us as faculty so that we can work with the students with this new thing. And this other faculty member was expressing some frustration that he had attended a workshop where they walked us through all of these things and it all seemed to make sense. But now that he was trying to do it, he really couldn't, and it wasn't working. And it was exactly that, you know, when we sat there and we sat in this workshop, it all made sense. And they walked us through, oh yeah, you do this, you do this, you do this. I get it. And then when I sit down to do it, I can't. And so I was trying to explain to him how to do some of these things. And that was when it started to make more sense to me. So, you know, just understanding that about your brain.
I love I think it's really good for faculty to be in that position of having to learn new things. Yes. Because it certainly helps us connect with our students.
It keeps us humble. That's for sure. Yeah.
Learning is challenging.
Yeah. And you know, as I read this, I started with my students right away. And I asked them, when you study for a test, what do you do? And a lot of them said, I reread the chapters, which is the worst thing, because that's when you're looking at it and saying, yeah, that makes sense. That I understand that. But that's different than testing yourself or getting together with a partner and trying to explain a concept to them, and you learn it differently. You know, you never
or
learn
taking
anything.
Notes.
Yeah, you never learn anything as well as when you try to teach it to someone else. So those are just sort of examples. And he has this wonderful kind of cycle of the components of learning. I thought this was really interesting too. And he says, learning doesn't need to begin with your interest. It begins with openness and curiosity. And he has a really cool chart in the book of how, you know, interest leads to curiosity, it leads to digging deeper, leads to something else, and then leads back to interest. And I think that whole concept is really important for students who, and as almost all of them do, no matter where they go to school, are going to face some what we call general education requirements, you know, some courses that you have to take to broaden. And you know, I would sit with students and say, you have to take a social science, which would be psychology or sociology or politics. And they say, I'm really not interested in that. Mm-hmm. And then they are required to take that course. And they come in with this mindset of, this is going to be hard, or this is going to be boring, or because I'm not interested. And that you can come at it with different attitudes, that idea of curiosity. Or, yeah. All right, I'm going to see what this is all about. And then you might develop the interest. So, you know, this book is very much a how-to. You know, here's how to do it. But with the understanding of why the how-to works. Mm-hmm. You know, why does this tip work? I think this would be an ideal graduation gift for somebody graduating and going on to college. Just a list of the chapters. I mean, you get how to, each chapter is how to understand a lecture, take lecture notes, reorganize your notes, read difficult books, study for exams, judge whether you're ready for an exam, take tests, learn from past exams, plan your work, defeat procrastination, stay focused, cope with anxiety, gain self-confidence, how to, and why the how-to right. works. It's not a book you sit down and read cover to cover. Some chapters do build on other ones, and then you flip back and mm-hmm. you say, oh, I'll do that. So I think this is a great book, a really practical book. It's a brand new book. It just came out this spring. Outsmart Your Brain. And we will list all yep. of these in the show notes. So that's my third.
Okay, here we go for my last book. This last book is a heavy-duty book. Okay, I'm just going to say that. It's called Lost Connections, Why You're Depressed and How to Find Hope. It's by Johan Hari. And it's a book about depression and anxiety. But it's not It is so well written. I couldn't put it down. It was like I was reading a mystery.
Wow.
He was linking different science. You know, he met a lot of scientists and talked to them about their experiments, and it read like a page turner because I was so interested in what he was finding out. So I say it's a heavy duty book because it's got some challenging ideas. I mean, all of us, I mean, I have some depression in me and in my family. I know a lot of people who have, you know, who are depressed and suffer from anxiety. So he brings up some ideas about why we are depressed. And he connects it to the word connections. He talks about that we are often don't have our needs for connection met. And when they're not met, we can easily get depressed. He talks about the need for meaningful work, connecting with other people, meaningful values, connecting with the natural world, status and respect. He talks about, I mean, whether you suffer from depression or not, I think this is a really good book to read about our human need for connection. Some of the challenging parts of this book are at the very beginning, he is questioning the use of medication for depression. And I have to say I have mixed feelings about what he was saying, but he backed up everything he was saying with interviews experiments. So I could not put this book down. This man, Johann Hari, is a journalist. He's won awards for his journalism, and you can tell he's a really good writer. He also has this TED Talk that's called Everything You Think You Know About Addiction is Wrong. And it's a really popular TED Talk. So he brings in some of his ideas about addiction and depression. Not a light read, not a beach read, but depression and anxiety are reaching, huge high levels right now all over the place. And it's a good discussion to have with your kids. It's a good book to lay around and see if they pick up. It's a good conversation to have. And again, it's not depressing. It's hopeful because he's talking about all these connections that we could be making that could make life better. So absolutely worth reading. It's called Lost Connections, Why You're Depressed and How to Find Hope.
Wow. Yeah, as you're talking about the book, and I have not read this one, it seems to me it brings together a couple of really, I would say hot topics, but, really, really important themes that we're mm-hmm. hearing about so much now, and that is that mental health of teenagers and young adults is, a major issue right now. And counseling centers at colleges are overwhelmed and, there's a lot going on there. And then, what COVID has brought to the forefront mm-hmm. in terms of connections. And we know that keeping students engaged and feeling connected in college is hugely important. So, we all are recognizing that need for connections and connecting it to mental health. And we were talking about the medication or not. I mean, there may be some things, it sounds as though there may be some things in the book that people might agree with or disagree mm-hmm. with, but at least being aware of the discussion and all. And we can also link to the TED Talk in our show yep. notes. So it'll be there. So, it's interesting, Lynn. It's occurring to me as I'm sort of listening to you talk about the books this year and the ones that I've picked. We're broadening a little bit away from the exact book of, parenting. Here's how to parent a right. college student. But this is all about parenting a college student. Mm-hmm. So, I hope it's perhaps helping people out there who are listening recognize that there's a lot that parenting a college student is definitely about understanding what's going on at college and knowing what they're talking about when they start to throw around the lingo and understanding, FERPA and what parents can know and do and how you can best help your student and when they're living away from home and on and on and on, all of those practical things, but it's also about understanding what's going on for the students and when they start to fall apart or when they are feeling anxiety and, all of this other stuff that's going on for them. So it sort of broadens the pool.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a post-COVID list of books also. Yeah. I think you mentioned that, and I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully this will provide some summer reading and fall reading and maybe winter reading. That there is a lot, if you are a parent of a college student, you know, to every now and then sort of pick up with curiosity. That's maybe that's our theme for the day, and say what's out there. So we will have show notes. We will list all of these books with easy links. You can just go to the link and shop right through the show notes for these books. You don't have to be listening to this and writing everything down. And we will also list to our other three summer read podcasts mm-hmm. from previous years, because a lot of those books, if you're a new college parent and you haven't read those, mm-hmm. those are wonderful too. There's just so much. You're not going to be able to do anything else all but summer read. But read. So we hope that, you know, we've shared some books, we've shared some thinking, and that if you are a new college parent or a veteran college parent, that it's been helpful, and that you will share this with other parents, other people you know who may be at the same point that you are. And the best thing you can do for us is to spread the word and help other people find the podcast. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sticking to the bitter end. And till next time.
Bye.